Right, morning at today's daf and tomorrow's daf Zion. We are in Vav Amud Beis. We're on the very bottom of the Amud. We are just finishing up from yesterday's circuit. We have one more answer to go through on the Gemara's question. Let's set up the Gemara's question. Right halfway down on the Amud, on Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara brought us back to topics of being Makdish Baal Mum. Being Makdish Baal Mum is allowed in the Torah. It's based on a series of Pesukim and Parshas Emor, Perichov Beis, where the Torah keeps repeating the word Lo Sikrivu. Lo sakrivu, and based on that, so we've generated numerous isurim based on that. A person is makdish baal mum, so he could be subject to 5 isurim of the Torah, and possibly even a 6. The 5 isurim of the Torah, as we learned yesterday, is being makdish the baal mum, and the shechting of a baal mum karban, and sprinkling the blood, and being balk taktiru kulo, offering all of its parts onto the mizbech, or even offering parts of it on the mizbech. I know that sounds like that overlaps numbers 4 and 5. The Gemara is going to address that point today, later today. There's a possible six esser, which we're going to discuss a little bit later this morning, which I'll come back to. But anyway, those are the various esserim when a person is being makdish baal mum. What does that have to do anything with Tamura? The answer, quite frankly, is nothing. But yesterday's daf, though, the Gemara brought in the classic discussion between Abaye and Rava. Abaye and Rava had a debate. Whenever the Torah gives us a lav, so mahani lo mahani. So if I violate the lav and I do it, so is that going to have any kind of legal effect? Yes or no? So machlokes between Abaye and Rava. So one of the discussions that we had, and this took us back to the top of Vav Amud Aleph. Correction. This took us to the bottom of Hamid Beis. So the Gemara, one of the issues was being makdish baal mum. The Torah says not to do it. Okay, and I did it. So I was makdish baal mum. So is that going to have effect? So the answer is yes. And that obviously posed a problem for Rava. Okay, and so the Gemara dealt with that, as the Gemara dealt with all the cases that we discussed. So in the meantime, however, so that was the discussion we had, being makdish baal mum and shechting baal mum. What about if it's a carbon that's offered outside the Beis HaMikdash? Now, I know that's a funny sentence because there is no carbon offered outside the Beis HaMikdash. Generally speaking, that is an isser to offer a serious isser to offer carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash. That's called Shechut Echutz. But there are two notable exceptions of quasi-carbonates that are offered outside the Beis HaMikdash. One is the Sir Lazazel, and the other one we discussed briefly is Paraduma. So one is a mechaper, and one is a mechaper, and the other one is a machshir. In any event, however, so if I take the Sir Lazazel and I'm makdish it as a baal mum, so am I in violation of the law? So that was our discussion yesterday. To which the Gemara says, it's a funny discussion. How could our Sir Lazazel be a baal mum? So remember, the way to get to a Sir Lazazel is you need 2 goats, and they have to basically be twin goats. They have to be the same size, shape, color, value. And so, and then what you'll do through a goral is you're going to designate which one's going to be Lashem and which one's going to be Lazazel. And obviously, they both have to be eligible to be brought onto the as a carbon. So how could I ever get to the chance of having a Sir Lazazel? So the Gemara entertained yesterday a couple of answers, maybe following the position of Chanan HaMitzri or following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So these are proposed answers that we saw yesterday in the Gemara. Go back to the end of yesterday. It's off to review those answers. Gemara is going to give one more answer. Rava. Rava Amar lo nitzrucha kegon shehumam bo bayom v'chililo al chavero. So the Gemara proposes a simple answer to the question of how can we get to the Sir Lazazel that would be a baal mum, and that's the following. Let's say what happens is as follows. You set aside 1 Sir Lazazel. After the Hagrala, after the lottery was taken, so specifically the goat that's being offered as Sir Lazazel becomes the baal mum. Okay. And so now I need to replace it. So what am I going to do? So in this particular scenario, I'm going to be Mechalal. I'm going to take its Kedusha and transfer it. How am I going to transfer it? Al Chavero. V'hu baal mum. I'm going to do it on its friend, and the new goat that I elected, that I substituted, is going to be a baal mum. And so now, what the pasuk is teaching us, what the drasha is teaching us, is that under those circumstances, I'm now also going to be in violation of a lav. So the havamina would be like this. Look, the sira mishtaleach. Originally, it can't be a baal mum, but that's because it was a potential candidate to become the Sir Lashem. Fine. And so therefore, from its origination, it cannot be a baal mum. But now we know it's a Sir Mishaleach. and I am now going to be substituting in another Sira Mishaleach. So one can entertain at least a Havamina that under these circumstances it would be okay to go ahead and to substitute in another Balma. Because anyway, it's not going to be offered in the base of Mikdash. Anyway, it's not, quote-unquote, really a Karban. That's the Havamina. So Kamashmalan, the Chiddush is no, that even under these circumstances, if I'm Makdish the Sir L'Mishtalech as a Balmum, one is going to be subject to the Lav. Okay, that was our final approach in terms of how we can even get to the scenario of the Sir L'Mishtalech being a Balmum. No, there's no gain. It's just explaining why we need a drasha altogether. The gain is that there is a drasha that says that there is going to be a lav for being makdish to Sira Mishtalech. And how do we even get there? What's the ukimta? So the Gemara gives us an ukimta. That's all. Amar Amar Mishum Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Af Kabbalas Adam. So now we're up to the sixth lav, the possible sixth lav. You're makdish Baal Mum. And so as we said at the beginning of Shir today, there's five lavim that one could violate for such an act. And according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, a sixth possible lav, and that is Kabbalas Adam. Okay, so one more. Now, obviously, you can't just simply add a lav, meaning it has to be sourced, it has to be based on a pasuk. So, what's the pasuk based on? So, Av Kabbalas Adam, I tamed to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Makra Umach veKasus veNasuk veCharus, Zu Kabbalas Adam. So, again, going back to Parshas Nam, we're going back to the 22nd parak. So, there are a number of Bali Momim that are described over there. Ma'uch Kasus, Nasuk Vikarus. Remember back in Bechoros we described all the specifics about all these different types of Momim. They generally are referring to the animal's genital area. So anyway, Zu Kabbalas Adam. But when the Torah there repeats the term expression, Lo Sakriv was a reference to Kabbalas Adam. Shamar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Shamar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. The sixth lav is encoded in that pasuk. Ula Tanakama Hai Lo Sakriv Alamali. Now according to the Tanakama, so he admits that there's an extra lo sakrivu. So what is that generating for us? Mi bailei lizrika sadamim. So the Gemara says, what it's needed to is to teach me the lav of zrika sadam. So the Gemara says, wait one second, go back to yesterday's daf. V'hanafkalei mi'al hamizbeach. So the Gemara says that if you remember yesterday's daf, we darshan that already from the expression al hamizbeach. So we don't need lo sakrivu to generate this lav of sprinkling the blood of a baal mum on the mizbeach. I learned yesterday from a different phrase. The Gemara says, Orchid Dekrad de Mishtai Hachi. So the Gemara says, yeah, you know what? Yesterday we quoted the Pasuk and we quoted Al Mizbeach. That's not really the source. That's not teaching us the Lav of Zrikas Adam. Orchid Dekrad, it's just simply that's the manner in which the Torah speaks. The Torah over there is not meant to generate a Lav. The Lav is actually being generated from the words Lo Sakrivu from the Pasuk we just cited. So Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Nami Orchid Dekrahu. So the Gemara says, now, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, he can't dispute that. When the Torah says Al HaMizbeach, that's not generating a new lav. And even Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda agrees that the Isser of Zrikas Adam is really coming from the phrase Lo Sakrivu of the Pasuk he just cited. Okay, so in Achinam, the Gemara says, you're right, Ela Kabbalas Adam Inale. So the Gemara says, okay, according to Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, so where does, in fact, he generate his lav, the lav of Kabbalas Adam? So Nafkalei Mehao Miyad Benecha Lo Sakrivu, Zuhi Kabbalas Adam. Shamar Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. Ah, so the Gemara says there really is another reference over there in those series of psukim in Perek Chav Beis. The Torah says Ben Echar, that let's say our non-Jew decides he wants to bring a karban. We know that a non-Jew can bring a karban. So let's say he wants to bring a Baal Mum. So that too is going to be a violation as well. And what Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda says is that if you look in that pasuk, you'll see the words Lo Sakrivu. So that is a reference to Kabbalas Adam. So the Gemara says Lo Tanakama Hai Lo Sakrivu Lamali. So the Gemara says, okay, and what about the Tanakama? They're aware of such a pasuk. What do they do with it? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? If you look contextually at the pasuk is describing a carbon being brought by a non-Jew. Without the pasuk and without the phrase lo sakrivu, here's what I would have thought. Look, when it comes to the non-Jew offering a carbon, so their standards of what is a mom and our standards of what is a mom are different standards. For them, Mechusar Aver. The animal offered as a karban on their bamos, and by the way, they can offer karbanos on the base of Mikdash to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They can offer a karban on their bamos to a Kadosh Baruch Hu as well. Both of those are acceptable. Of course, what's unacceptable is them being over to Avodah Zarah and offering a karban to Avodah Zarah, obviously. But in other words, on a bama, they can offer a karban. And if and when they do, so their threshold of what is considered a bamom. Really, really low threshold. Mechusar Aver. The animal, if the animal's missing a limb, okay, that's a Baal Mum. But the nicks and cracks and small little splits of the lip that we consider to be a bamum, so for them it's not. In other words, they don't abide by the high threshold of what is a physical blemish that we do. Fine. So then the havamina would be. Just give me a second. So then the havamina would be that then when they're offering a carbon on our mizbeach, so they could subscribe to their lower threshold, and they don't have to subscribe to our higher threshold. And that's what the pasuk needs to teach us, that no, lo sakrivu, meaning even though for them it's not considered a bamum when they're offering on their bamus, but if they want to offer it in the base of mikdash, so then they have to abide by our threshold of what is considered a bamum. That's the chiddush of lo sakrivu. Yeah.
So the case of Chamsa Bar Chamsa, where the guy offered.
Mm-hmm.
So that was on the lips, right?
Right. That case works, meaning that we have to abide by our threshold. And that's why he had a hard time going back and reporting and saying, oh, you know, we had a bamum. They're going to look at him. They're going to be like, nah, that wasn't a bamum. So, okay. And that was why he was uncomfortable in sending back that information. Now,
why do you need a separate drasha for each of the avoda? Lo takriva means it incorporates all four of the avodas.
Lo takriva just simply means don't offer. It does not include every one of the avodas. It means don't offer. So it's ambiguous exactly what it's making reference to. We try to look at the context of the pasuk to help us identify what it's making reference to, but there's no clarity, and it doesn't. And if it just simply meant every one of the avodas, so then it also should include kabbalah sadam. It should also include halacha, which it doesn't. Okay, so the gemara assumes that it refers to one point. So we establish what the points are: being makdashit, being shechting it, zrikas hadam, offering it. Okay, lishna achrina. What we're going to do now is as follows. We're basically going to go over the discussion we just had in a slightly different version, slightly different format. You're going to see a lot of this in Temura, right? In Masechta Temura, so there are going to be a lot of Lishna Achrinas.
What's the point of Lishna Achrinas?
Yeah, so obviously there were two versions, or two variations of how the discussion went in the Beis Medrash. So I can only conjecture in terms of why sometimes it was kept in, sometimes it was kept out. In the course of today, we're going to see a number of the Lishna Achrinas. And there sometimes are subtle differences between the two versions and variations of what they're communicating. Sometimes it's really hard to see the difference. Okay. Lishna Achrina, the Gemara has a slightly different version. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Kabbalah Sadam. I'm going to go through it quickly. It's going to sound awfully similar. So he says, Kabbalah Sadam, my time, Dixiv, Amar Chavakasas, based on the pasuk that we just quoted. So not the one we just quoted, but at the beginning of the previous discussion. So, Lo Sakriva Zu Kabbalah Sadam, Vizrika, Nafkalem, Alam, Mizbeach. So the Gemara then protests. What do you mean? The Zrika is learned out from the phrase Al HaMizbech. Well, the Rabbananami typically Zrika min Al HaMizbech. And according to the Chachamim, why don't they also learn it from the phrase Al HaMizbech? Chachinami. Ve'ala lo sakriva de ma'uch l'mayasa mafkin l'abamis yachin. So the Gemara says that the lo sakriva of the pasuk from ma'uch, that's coming to teach me the isser of not offering a ba'amum on a ba'amis yachin, on a private ba'amu, when they were in fact allowed, which historically were short periods of time. So according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, don't we need to be making the same exact point? And Achinami, the Gemara says, you're right. So Ela Takriva de Kabbalah Manale. So as far as Kabbalah is concerned, the extra lav, according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, where is that generated from? So Miyad Ben Nechar Lo Sakriva. It comes from the pasuk of Miyad Ben Nechar. Not to accept a carbon from a guy. So zu kabbalas adam. V'rabban itzrich sakadah chamina ho v'nei noach. Im etzuv in el mechusar eivar. Bebama dilhon. Duma ananami nekabel minhon kamash malan. So mikol eila de lo mikablinan. So again, the same havamin that we had earlier. Since their threshold for what is a ba'amum is not as nearly as high as our threshold, so therefore one could have entertained the possibility that as long as for them it's not considered ba'amum, so then they can send that carbon to the base of mikdash and we're going to offer it, even though for us it would be considered ba'amum. That's the havamina, and the maskana is no. So maskif la. Period. Adkan. Okay, so that took us through the second version of the discussion. It sounds awfully similar to the first version. There are subtle differences between the first and second version. Okay. Where do we stand right now? So since the beginning of this morning, it's really since the beginning of the daf today, we have discussed the Isser in the Torah of being Makdash Abamam. So the animal is a blemished animal. Obviously, in its current state, it's ineligible to be brought as a carbon. And so if you attempt to be makdashit, so it's successful, meaning it's mahani, even though you violate an isser, and you could be subject to five, and according to Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, six lavim of the Torah, if in fact your makdash is bamum. Okay. When we talk about an animal being a baal mum, an animal is a baal mum just simply because it developed a physical blemish. Simple. Really simple. It's possible that an animal could be born with a physical blemish as well, meaning it's just simply a physical deformity, and it can happen both while the animal's alive, through an accident, or I guess just naturally as well, or it can also happen congenitally. So the animal is just simply born a baal mum, and that could be the case as well. Is there a difference between whether the animal is born a baal mum or it developed after it was born? No, not really. But the Gemara now, for just a small amount of time, is going to entertain the idea that maybe there should be a difference. Okay, so, and here we are now in the Gemara, at least entertaining the notion that there's a difference. So the Gemara now suggests as follows. Maybe there's a difference. And why? What would the Svara be? So the Gemara actually just presented it. The Gemara says, look, if the animal was born a healthy and perfect animal, tam, and then it becomes a bamum, so you understand that it was at one point ra'i, and then it becomes not ra'i. This is kind of similar to the idea that we've expressed numerous times throughout Shas of dichui, of it was pushed off, it was rejected. It was eligible, and now become because it's a bamum, it's ineligible. And now you want to be makdish as a karban? What a chutzpah, right? That's really disrespectful, and that disrespect translates into an isser in the Torah. Okay, I'm not trying to give tamei dekra, tamei mitzvah, but the idea that I just articulated, you're going to see it comes up in the Gemara in just a moment. Okay, but if the animal is born a baal mum, so the animal was born already rejected from bringing a karban. So if I'm makdish it, you know what that's tantamount? It's like being makdish me this table. Meaning this table is, or right, the Gemara's expression is dikla ba'ama. It's a piece of wood. Meaning it's not something that was ever really eligible to be brought as a karban. And so if I'm makdish it as a karban, so is that really a violation of the law? That's what the Gemara right now is entertaining. So Amalei Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, Saruva Kalutziv, Beparsha V'hani Ba'al Mum, Mi Karaninu. So the rejection of this argument is such a simple rejection, and it's really like it's like a conversation ender. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef says, what are you talking about? You know, of the physical blemishes that are out there, so two of them are sarua v'kalut. Sarua, where one limb is longer than another limb. Kalut is when the animal comes out and its feet are fused together. Normally, obviously, animals that are eligible for a karban, which are kosher animals by definition, have split hooves, and this animal comes out with a mutation, it comes out with a fused hoof. Okay. So now, let me ask you, these blemishes, by definition, they're congenital blemishes, where one limb is larger than the other. I guess we can somehow construct a scenario in which, after it was born, one limb somehow grew faster than the other, grew more than the other. But generally speaking, these are congenital issues, and certainly the fused foot. That's a congenital issue. It was born, it was developed in utero in this fashion. And you want to know, and obviously this is a baal mum. And so now you're going to tell me that the only time you're in violation of the isser of being makdish baal mum is only when it occurs after it's born? By definition, some of the mumim of the Torah are clearly congenital mumim. So how can you make this kind of distinction? Ksiv b'parsha v'hani bali mumim, mikar ninu. Okay. Amar lei shem lo shaninu ela b'tamura. Okay, so still trying to defend his position, he says, well, maybe one is violating the isser of being makdish baal mum only when done under the context of Temura. Now, being that this is Masechta Temura, so we now for a little bit today, we're going to talk about Temura. Now, as we know, when it comes to Temura, I'm trying to substitute one carbon with another carbon, and the Torah says that it's something you shouldn't do, but if you do, it's going to be effective. And the Torah says, and it doesn't make a difference whether it's Tov v'ra v'tov, that when you try to exchange an animal, carbon from one animal to another animal, so it will be true whether it's tov v'ra v'ra b'tov, right? We discussed this numerous times. Good and bad over here just simply mean halachically. So bad over here halachically means it's a blemished animal. And now what the Gemara is going to suggest is as follows. Well, maybe the isser of being makdish baal mum is only when I do so via temura. Because there at least we know that the Torah acknowledges and allows for the kedusha to go into a blemished animal via temura. And so maybe that's the entire issa that we're discussing. Ditnan, Chomer b'tmur mi b'zevach shekein kedusha chala leha abamum kavua. So a mission that we're going to see later in the Masechta, that we know that via tumura an animal can receive kedusha's carbon. Now obviously, again just to state the obvious, because it's a bamum, it's not going to be offered on the mizbeach, but still though it's going to have the status of kedusha saguf. A kedusha saguf animal with a mum. So obviously now you're going to have to redeem it, and it's still going to be also in gizan va'avoda and all the things that are subject to the general psula hamukdashim, but it's going to receive kedusha saguf. And so what the Gemara now is entertaining is that this iser of Baal Taktishu, Baal Taktish, Baal Mom, is only when it's done via Tamura. So Amrle Rav Yochan, Lo Shmiel Achad, Amr Rav Yanai, Bechabur, Nimnu, Begamru, Amaktish, Baal Mom, Legabe, Mizbech, Over Mishum, Chamisha, Shemos. He says, and again, an argument I'm not ready to entertain. I'm not ready to listen to this argument. Look, we've already established that when a person's Maktish, Baal Mom, he could be subject to upwards of 5 Isurim. Now, if you're telling me that the only way we can get to this point is only via Tamura, so we've just added another Isser, and that's the Isser of Tamura. V'i b'tamura nami shisha avyandika nami lav de Tamura. So obviously, this can be done without Tamura, because if the only way it can be done is with Tamura, via Tamura, so then it's not 5 lavim, it's called 6 lavim. Elamai b'bamu mikara, amai laki diklav amahu. So the Gemara says, okay, well, the saru of a kalut that we just established are congenital blemishes. So how come you're in violation of being makdish abal mum? Meaning, I don't understand. Let's go back to the argument that we entertained just moments earlier. Isn't it no different than me being makdish a table? Meaning, by virtue of the fact that it was born ineligible as a karban, so maybe my being makdish it is no different than me my being makdish a table. I'm clearly not being makdish the table as a karban. And can't I make the same argument? I'm clearly not being makdish the baal mum ikaro as a karban. So amrle dikla lav zila milsa min eitzim hu baal mum ikaro zila milsa kevin de shalik tamim ve'iktish baal mum mechayev. So now the Gemara here actually articulates the argument that I made earlier. Now, but you know, I knew this Gemara was coming up, and that is as follows: that look, if I'm makdish a table, so everyone understands it's a table. It's not going to be offered as a karban. It's a table. And so its value is going to be kadosh, but it itself is not going to be kadosh, and that's understood. And even if I'm makdish it and I'm earmarking the funds to be brought as a karban, but again, that's not, there's nothing disrespecting about that. It's a table. However, once I'm makdish an animal and it's a blemished animal, and the Gemara basically said, I don't care if the blemish comes after it was born. I don't care if the blemish comes before it was born. That is a disrespectful act, right? The Gemara's terminology, zila be milsa. Meaning it's arrogant, it's insolent that you, instead of going to an animal that you should have been makdish as a karban, meaning a tamim animal, you elected that you're going to go ahead and you're going to nominate a blemished animal as a karban. And even though the animal was blemished congenitally, and that's not so disrespectful, the Gemara says, no, that is disrespectful. Because instead of going to a tamim animal, you decide to go to a baal mum animal, it's going to be a lav under both circumstances. So the Gemara basically has now incorporated that. Being makdish a baal mum is going to be an iser, and there is no distinction whether it was a baal mum after it was born or if it was a baal mum congenitally. Lishna achrina, now again, the Gemara is going to just simply go over another version, and here it really seems to be no difference between the second version and the first one. Lishna achrina, amalei afilo hachi baz yamilsa, dideko leko bimino, lo laki lafuke baal mum, kevin diika bimino, laki. You see, the difference between a table and an animal is that by a table, categorically, there's no table being offered as a karban. Mashenkin, when it comes to an animal, categorically, an animal is being offered as a karban. And instead of electing to be makdish a tamim animal, you decide that you want to be makdish a baal mum. So it doesn't matter when it developed its blemish. That is an act which is a bazia milsa. It's an embarrassment what you did. It's therefore going to be a lav.
Why does it work?
Because the Torah says it works.
That goes back
to the Gemara's discussion on Dafei. That's okay. Good, you're back on Dafei. So the Gemara is bothered by the fact that the Torah says not to do it, and yet if you do it, it's effective. Okay.
It's
a kedusha zaguf. Lechora. Again, a kedusha zaguf that you can't offer. Okay. Amar Rava Hashadamar Taimed Abba Mum Delaki Mishum Debaz Yamil Sayu. So now that we've established, says Rava, that taking an animal, a blemished animal, and trying to infuse in it the Kedusha Saguf is something which is Bazia Milsayu, is something which is disrespectful and a violation of the Torah. I feel the Mekadosh Leilid Dmei Nasachim Nami Laki. So Rava says, so here I'm going to now bring it to its, let's not say logical conclusion, but let's bring it now to the next step. And that's the following. I have an animal which is a balmum, and I nominate it, and I want to be makdashit as a carbon. Okay, that's a law in the Torah. You're not allowed to do that. It's effective if you do so. It will have the kedusha as a goof, but you violate a law. Because, again, of this disrespectful act. Even if I makdashit, not so that it itself could be brought as a carbon, but its value is now going to be generated, meaning I'll sell it, and the value is going to be for another carbon, again, that's also going to be a law, because if I'm really looking for a carbon, so go find a tamim. Stop trying to be makdish the balmum animal. What if this is now Rava? This is the place Rava is going to take it. What if I'm makdish this animal, this balmum animal, as a carbon? Not that I'm going to bring it as a carbon, but its value is going to be earmarked as a carbon, but not an animal carbon, but nesachim. So in other words, the proceeds of the sale of this animal is going to go to other things, accessories that go on to the Mizbech, otherwise known as Nesachim. So Rava says that's also subject to the Malkus. Why? And the reason is because, again, if you're really interested in bringing something on the Mizbeach, so what are you doing playing around with this Balmum and being Makdish the Balmum? Again, go for something which is eligible. Don't go for something which is ineligible. Tanya Kavasi, the Rava, the Gemara now is going to support Rava with a Brisa. We now are on the top of Zayin Amud Beis. The Torah says that you are going to take a balmum and you're going to offer it as a nedava. In this context, it clearly means, I mean, the Gemara spells it out. It clearly means that you're going to be offering it as bedek habayis. Of course, because it's a blemished animal. It's not eligible to be brought as a carbon. So nedava ta'aseh so zu kachi bedek habayis. Vainly ala nedava neder minayin. What if I use the terminology of neder? Same thing. Tamalamar la neder yachol afilu kachi mizbech. Tamalamar la neder lo yiratzeh. So it doesn't matter whether I'm makdish the balmum as a neder nedava. If I do so for the purposes of offering it on the mizbeach, either one of them is a lav. Its designated purpose is to be brought as bedek habayis. Okay, so I can't offer a balmum neither as a neder nor as a nedava. Okay, and we're going to come back to that in just a moment. Sounds like we've made the same point two times over. Rebbe Omer lo yiratzeh b'artzas gufa akasa medaber. And when the Torah says lo yiratzeh, when it comes to a blemished animal, it means that I cannot offer a blemished animal as a carbon. L'artzas gufa, meaning it cannot be designated as a carbon. And if one designates it as a carbon, he's in violation of a law. So we have now the Chacham and we have Rebbe, and they all seemingly are making the same point. A blemished animal cannot be offered as a carbon, period. You can't be makdish as a carbon, and go back to everything we said up until now. And on top of that, according to the Tanakhama, it doesn't matter if you're being makdish as a neder or as a nedava, you're in violation of a law. And Rebbe effectively says the same thing. It sounds that way. Rebbe says, hartzas gufa kasam adaber, that if I attempt to be makdish for as a carbon, one is subject to the law. And so the Gemara immediately is bothered by the question, hainu Tanakhama. Isn't Rebbe saying the same thing as the Tanakhama? So my law, ba'akamithlagi, the Tanakhama savar afilakdishil demei nesachim nami laki, v'Rebbe savar b'hartzas gufa laki aval b'demei nesachim lo laki shmamina. So the Gemara notes that there is just but a subtle difference, but there is a difference between the Chachamim and Rebbe. According to the Chachamim, any time that I take this balmum and I makdish as a carbon, and when we say carbon over here, it could be that the definition of carbon is a little bit looser. Either I want to bring this animal as a carbon, I want to bring the value of this animal as a carbon, or I even want to bring the value of this animal as nesachim. It doesn't matter. Under any one of those circumstances, one would be subject to the lav. Masha ein kein, according to the position of Rebbe, the only time one violates the lav is only when one makdish this as a carbon, or its proceeds, or its value as a carbon, meaning an animal carbon. But according to Rebbe, if I makdish it so that its value can go towards the Sachem, he's not going to be in violation. And that's what Rebbe meant with the word Hatzar's Gufo. Okay, that's a machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rebbe. Again, subtle difference between the two. But then it comes out now that the way we just explained the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rebbe, Rava's position that he espoused on the bottom of the previous Amud is now going in line with the position of the Chachamim. And so now Rava is now having support and being supported by the Chachamim. Meaning that's basically what the Chachamim say, that if I makdish the animal for either it or its value to go onto the Mizbech and the animal was a Balmum, one's in violation of a lav. And even if I'm offering the Nesachim on the Mizbech, that too is going to be a lav as well. Okay, let's pick it up right where we left off. Ela oso lamali. Okay, so what's the oso coming to teach me? L'chid etanyan, nedav etase oso, oso etase nedav, v'yata oso etamim nedav lebedek habayis. Mikan amru, amakdish shemim lebedek habayis over be'aseh. So I know we made this point yesterday, but okay, we're making it again now. We said this at the beginning of yesterday's daf, and that is that if I take a tamim, if I take a perfect animal, and I makdish the animal as to be used by bedek habayis, one is in violation of a. Well, right now we're saying an aseh. Why are we saying an aseh? Because consider, what does the Torah say? The Torah says that when it comes to a baal mum, you should be nedavatasa oso. It, meaning the blemished animal, should be used for bedek habayis and not for the mizbeach. So now what we're doing is we're just simply inverting. If the animal is a tamim, so in other words, and we're learning this inferentially. If the animal is a tamim, so then it should not go towards bedek habayis, but it rather should go to the mizbeach. Okay, and this is what's called an halacha, a lav haba mechlal aseh. We've just learned now inferentially that because a tamim should only go towards the mizbeach, that means now inferentially that if I'm makdish it for bedek habayis, so then I'm in violation.
What does
Rav
HaBa
mean?
What does that phrase mean?
Lav haba mechlal aseh, a negative prohibition inferred implied by a positive commandment. Okay.
Umin. Both ways. Cannot be an adover. It has to be a carbon.
Right.
So say the same the opposite way.
Yeah, but
Amum cannot be a carbon, so it should be an adover.
We are saying both ways.
We are saying both ways.
One is a beferish pasuk, and the other one is learned out through an inference.
Okay. And you have it in both ways.
Ah, so we're getting there. Uminayan af belosa aseh. Now, how do I know that the same thing is going to be true for a losa aseh? Meaning, so far, all we've established is that if they take a tamim and makdish it towards the bedek habayis, so that's incorrect. Now, when I say incorrect, I'm meaning it's a violation of the Torah. But the Torah doesn't say don't do it. The Torah just simply teaches this to me via inference. So again, it's a lav haba mechlal aseh. And so, but what we want to know is, how do I know it's a lav? It's not that we want to make it a lav. We know it's a lav. We said so in yesterday's Gemara. Now the Gemara is simply establishing, sourcing this. How do I know this? So the Gemara says, well, if you look at the beginning of the Parshim, Perichav Beis, it says Leymor. Generally a pasuk that we don't do much with, but interesting, the Gemara over here says, this is actually going to teach us that it's a lav. How do you get from point A to point B? So liman al parsha shehi balav, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So the entire parsha now is subject to a lav, including being makdish a tamim towards bedek habayis. So amalei Rabbi labar kapara, my mashma, the question we're all wondering, how do we get from the pasuk vayidaber Hashem al Moshe leimor to the fact that it's a lav? So amalei dichsiv leimor. The word leimor is actually a contraction. Lo ne'amar bedvarim. Be Rabbi Amre lo amor. Okay, so different ways in terms of how exactly the Amorim say it, but basically the word lemor, encoded in the word lemor, is the word lo, which now teaches us a lav. Now, here's my best guess, but it's a guess though, and so you could take it for what it is worth. Obviously, you can't say that every single time the Torah says the word lemor, it speaks to a lav. In other words, that would then bring about some really strange conclusions. Probably, again, I'm giving you my best guess, probably, when we know already that the Torah is speaking to something that you should not do, although we are only saying it inferentially, meaning it's a lav haba mechlal aseh, so then what we can do is we could take the word lemor and we could just use it to emphasize it, reinforce it, bring it up from a chlal aseh, only inferentially as a positive construction, positive instruction, to a negative prohibition. So we already know there's a lav haba mechlal aseh, and the word lemor is just simply bringing it up one small step from there to a formal lav. Okay.
Doing malchus, probably, because it's logic you're using.
It's not logic. It's a drasha.
The inference
is very clear.
it's a lava b'machla say. That's very clear. Yes, it's true. We have to, you know, there is a certain element of logic in order to get to that inference, but the inference is very clear. Nidavah so tells us that the only a bamum goes towards bedek abayis, but a tamim that goes to the mizbech. Okay, you're right. It does take some deduction to get there, but we're there. And now that we're there, but it's a lava b'machla, I'll say the word lemor is able to just bring us up one step up. Okay. Itmar. Hamale Ivra Balimum Lagabi Mizbeach Amarava over Mishum Baltatir Kulam Mishum Baltatir Mukzarso. And now we're finishing up this whole discussion. So now we're gonna go back to a point that we made yesterday, and that's Lavim 4 and 5. You take the limbs of an animal that was a Balmum, you shechted it, that was a lav. You sprinkle the blood in the Mizbeach, that's another lav. I'm going to go in the correct order. Your makdishit, that's a lav. You shechted it, that was another lav. You sprinkled the blood on the mizbech, that's now a third lav. Right, according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Kabbalah Sadam would also be a lav as well. And now, taking the limbs and putting onto the mizbech. So that's lavs 4 and 5. Now lavs 4 and 5, why? So as we learned yesterday, so there's a pasuk that says that if I offer all of it, one is subject to a lav, and even if I offer some of it, one is subject to a lav. Now, are we saying that if the same person did some and all, he's going to be subject to two sets of lavin? That seems to be somewhat overlapping. So the Gemara now addresses that point. Hamala Eivari Balimum Lagabi Mizbeach Amar Rava Over Mishum Batakir Kula Mishum Batakir Mitzasa. So Abai Amar in Lokin Alav Shebechlalos. Abai says no. Lav Shebechlalos. This is a inclusive lav. One person is not going to be receiving both sets of malchus. So Meisvei, the Gemara challenges, Amakdish Balei Mum Legabe Mizbech Over Mishum Chamisha Shemus Tiyufta Dam Bayit. So the Gemara says, what about the Braisa that we've said yesterday, we're saying again today, and that is five lavin. So Amar Abaye Begavri Ketani. So Abaye gives a good answer. Abaye says, no, the Braisa is not talking about one person violating all those lavim. The Braisa is just simply saying that there is a potential for five different people to be subject to five different lavim. So Iba Gavre over Ovrimi Baile. The Gemara says, yeah, but textually I don't like that answer. Because grammatically, the phrase of the Braisa should be Ovrin. They're in violation. Over is singular, and that seems to indicate that only one person can be subject to all five lavim. Elapshita Bechai Gavra Vityufta Da Abai. So the Gemara says the better way to read it is that's talking about one person, and Rava seems to be more correct, that if a person offers all of the limbs, he's going to be subject to two lavim. One for offering some, and two for offering all, even though, again, as the Gemara pointed out, there seems to be a bit of an overlap. Of course.
So when he does partial, he gets one hasra, and he does all, he gets all.
Yeah, that's how it would work. Amar Abaye Apik Haktaros Miktasav Ayal Kabal Sadam. So what the Gemara tries to do is it tries to offer another pshat in the Braisa to defend Abaye. Maybe we'll take out one of the lavin that we just described, notably the lav of Miktasav, and we'll replace it with Kabbalah Sadam. So the Gemara says, Kabbalah Sadam, the Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Islay, the Tanakhama, Leislay, Kasha. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda's position, not the Tanakhama's position. And Lishna Achrin, in a slightly similar version, the Gemara expresses the same wonderment. V'im de Sefer, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, he reisha Rabbanan, Tiyufta da Abaye, Tiyufta. The Gemara says, it's just simply, it's not a good defense of Abaye. The Braisa over here clearly outlines and articulates the five lavim. The lav of Kabbalah Sadam, that just belongs to the opinion of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, not the position of Tanakhama and Achinami. Meaning the Braisa reads much better like Rava, that one person will be subject to both lavim, Miktsaso and Kulo. Let's begin the Mishnah. The Mishnah over here talks about who can affect Temura. Now the answer is actually very simple. Who can affect Temura? The owner of the animal can affect Temura. So as long as you're the owner of the animal, so you can affect more. Now, it's true, if you remember earlier in the Masechta, so we said that the person that can affect Temura is the miskaper, the one receiving the kapara. So it's true, we did say that earlier, if you take a look, by the way, Tosus articulates this idea very clearly, second Tosus on the Amud, it means the miskaper can also affect Temura. But in other words, the owner is the one who can affect Temura, the owner of the carbon. So a Kohanim Emirim B'Shalahem, so if a Kohen owns a carbon, so he can affect Temura with that animal. Again, understood, all this is under the umbrella of he shouldn't have, nobody should, it's a lav in the Torah, but we're just talking about the efficacious nature of the act. So a Kohen can affect Temura, a Yisrael Mimirim B'Shalahem, and a Yisrael can affect Temura with the carbon that belongs to them. However, Ein HaKohanim Mimirim Lo B'Chatos V'Lo B'Ashim V'Lo B'Bechor, but a Kohen cannot affect Temura with a Chatos or a Nashim or Bechor that's not theirs. Now, what do we mean by a Chatos and Nashim that's not theirs? So it's so any carbon Chatos or Ashim offered by Yisrael obviously does not belong to the Kohen. He may be the one facilitating and doing the Avodah, but it's not his. But even that statement is not totally true, because we all know that what ends up happening with every Chatos and every Ashim is that it's then, after it's shecht and after the blood is sprinkled, it's then given to the Kohen, where he's going to be eating the meat of the carbon Chatos and the carbon Ashim. In fact, none of the meat of the Chatos and the Ashim is going to be eaten by the owner. So we could say, and not only could say, we are going to say, that the Kohen has a clear interest in the carbon. Interest over here, I mean from an ownership standpoint. Now, I know the Gemara says numerous times that it's not really the Kohen's. It's Mishuchan Gavoa. Mishuchan Gavoa Kazachu.
He's assigned to eat it, not necessarily his.
Okay, good. We're saying the same thing. So Mishuchan Gavoa Kazachu. So the Gemara says, okay, that's true, but let's also entertain the Bechor. Now, the Bechor, that's property of the Kohen's. The Gemara's going to make this point. I'm just foreshadowing the Gemara's point coming up ahead. The Bechor for sure belongs to the Kohen. Now, the Bechor is born in the farm of Yisrael, but then, of course, he is instructed by the Torah to give it to the Kohen. So the Bechor belongs to the Kohen, and yet we're saying very clearly in the Mishnah that a Kohen cannot affect Temura by a Bechor. And we're going to have to explain why, and we will. So I'm a Rabbi Yochanan Menor, Mimnei Ma'in Mamir Bechor, I'm a Le Rabbi Akiva, Chatos V'Asha Matan L'Kohen, Bechor Matan L'Kohen. So here now, in the dialogue between Rav Yochanan Menor and Rabbi Akiva, Rav Yochanan Menor says, I don't get it. Bechor, it belongs to the Kohen. Why can't he affect Temura with it? And Rabbi Akiva says, well, look, Chatzos and Ashim didn't bother you, meaning you understood that. And so why is Bechor any different? If you're understanding Chatzos and Ashim, you should understand Bechor. I'm Rav Yochanan Menor, Ma lo, imeno meimir bechatzos v'ashim, she'ein zachim behem bechayim, tomer bebechor she'zachim bo bechayav. And Rav Yochanan Menor says, wait one second. There's a clear difference between the Chatzos and the Ashim and the Bechor. The Chatzos and the Ashim, it's true, it's given to the Kohen, but what's given to the Kohen? The meat, after it's shechted, and after you sprinkle the blood. Then and only then do the Kohen and Kohanim get the meat. So I get it. In other words, the animal, while it was alive, never had any shaychus to the Kohen. The Bechor, you're giving the live animal to the Kohen. It belongs to the Kohen. It's clear the difference. Amalo Rabbi Kiva, v'alo kvar nemar v'ayahu smurasa yekodesh, hechen kedusha chalala b'beis abalim. Aftemur b'beis abalim. So the Gemara finally gives Rabbi Kiva's final answer in terms of explaining why it is that a Kohen cannot affect Temura with a Bechor, because he's not the original owner. Meaning it is a matana that was given to him, and obviously it's a mitzvah in the Torah, but nevertheless he's not considered the original owner. The original owner, Beis Baalim, is going to be the Yisrael, so he and only he can be the one affecting Temura, even though it's given to the Kohen, but he is only now going to be a recipient of it, and therefore he cannot affect Temura. Temura can only be done, the Beis Baalim, only by the original owner. Tanan Hasim, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah, Bechor Mocher Noso Tam V'Chai, Ba Mom V'Chai, Shachud Makdishim Bo, Mekachim Bo Ha'isha. The Mishnah teaches us, here is in Maaser Sheni, and we also learned this Mishnah back in Bechoros as well, that when I have a Bechor, so you can sell it. You could sell it while it's a Tam, you could sell it, Tam Chai, you could sell it while it's a non-blemished animal, Ubamom, and if it was a blemished animal, whether it was alive or whether it was after shechted. And the Kohen, if he wants to take his Bechor and Mikadosh a woman with it, he can do so. Otherwise stated, the Bechor is Mammon Kohanim. It's money that's owned by the Kohen. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravu, Lo Shana Le Bezman Hazeh. Hova Yisrael Kohen Zechiyah Begaveh. So what the Gemara now attempts to do is it tries to limit this point that the Bechor is owned by the Kohen. Consider, that's only talking about Zman Hazeh. Why hold the Isle of the Kohen Zechiyah Begaveh? Because where else is it going? Meaning there's no Beis HaMikdash, and so therefore the Kohen is going to be the recipient. Ava, skip the parentheses. Ava, Bezman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim, Kevin, De Tam La Karabahu Dekai, Ein Mocher Noso Tamim Chai. However, Bezman Beis HaMikdash, what is the Kohen supposed to do with the Bechor once he receives it? He has to offer it as a carbon. And since he has to offer it as a carbon, so he cannot sell it. He is going to be prohibited from selling it. Rava says to Rav Nachman, let's go back to the Brisa. Let's review the Brisa. The Brisa says that you could sell it in an unblemished state while it's alive, which means while it's alive, yes, but not after it's a shech, not after it's shechted. To which the Gemara says, let's think about this. Amos. Now, if we're talking about when there's at a time period when there's no Beis HaMikdash, when are you shechting the tam? The answer is never. In other words, there's no hechatimsa. You can't shech the tam. The only way you could shech the tam is as a carbon. And the only time you can offer a carbon is when there's a Beis HaMikdash. If there's no Beis HaMikdash, so then you're not shechting as a carbon. Ela pshita bizman she Beis HaMikdash kayam. So it must be that we're talking about when the Beis HaMikdash is kayam. Otherwise, how are we making sense of the Braisa? V'ktani nami mochrin oso tamim chai. And yet, now that we've established that the Braisa is talking about bizman Beis HaMikdash, now let's just go back and reread the Braisa. The Braisa taught us very clearly that one is allowed to sell a bechor, a kohen, let me be clear. A kohen is allowed to sell his bechor tamim chai, even though it's unblemished, as long as it's alive. So this now would seem to go directly against the position of Rav Nachman. So lo, la'olam bizman hazeh. So the Gemara says, no, I'm going to go back and say that the Braisa is talking about bizman hazeh. Miketani mochrin oso tamim chai in shachalo. Now look, the point that you made in the Braisa didn't say that point. You inferred that point from the Braisa. That was an inferential point. And I'll simply tell you, hagufa asala ashmi'ina. The Braisa is not there to make any kind of inferential point. You know what the Braisa is coming to teach us? The basic point that it makes. Meaning, just read the Braisa, and that's exactly what the Braisa is coming to teach us. Ashmi'ina de bezman hazeh mochrin oso tamim chai. In other words, when the Kohen now receives his Bechor, which is a Tamim, so he has the right and the ability to sell that animal to somebody if he can find a buyer. Now, mind you, by the way, I'm just thinking about the market of your Bechor Tamim when there's no Beis HaMikdash. It must be a terrible market. Who would like to buy a Bechor animal that right now you can't do anything with until it develops a blemish? And oh, by the way, you can't put the blemish on the animal yourself. Okay, anyone interested? So granted, by the way, the market doesn't look that good. But still, the point is, that's exactly what the Braisa is telling me. In other words, that's the whole point of the Braisa. Okay.
How can you say Yishachud Bezman Hazeh?
Huh?
How can you say Yishachud Bezman
Hazeh? No, it wants to, no, that's a Balmum. In other words...
How can you say there's a Bezman Hazeh argument? There is no Shechita.
Only, oh, no, in other words, no. What the Braisa means is that Bezman Hazeh, if the Kohen received his Bechor Tamim, so he could sell it to somebody else if he wanted to. He can't shecht it. The idea of shechting it was only deduced from the Braisa. The Braisa didn't say that clearly. And what the Gemara now is arguing is that pay no attention to the deduction. Meaning that's not the point of the Braisa. The point of the Braisa is that a coin is allowed to sell it.
To
whoever he wants. It's his mammon.
If it's a tam.
So, okay, but the other... In other words, once you give it to the Bechor, it's mammon kohanim. He could be Mekadosh Isha with the one. In other words, it's his monetary value. Again, I do challenge how much value it has, meaning on the market, on the open market, it's not going to go for much. Who wants it? But in other words, it's his money. He could do with it what he wants.
When it says that,